Good afternoon. Welcome to the Peter Mac Show. This is my new show in a sense. I have been on KCXL in Liberty, Missouri for about 5 years, and then I got this opportunity from John Stadtmiller, who invited me to be on the Republic Broadcasting Network, and I'm pleased to be here today. So this is my very first show. I started as a radio talk show host a little over 5 years ago. My very first time on the air was November 16th, 2001. I had no background, no training in it whatsoever. And as luck would have it, I had just met someone who has become a good friend of mine. And his name is Larkin Rose. Both he and his wife, Larkin and Tessa Rose, and they have been key figures in what is called the tax honesty movement for at least that length of time, if not longer. And so I think it's very fitting that I would have Larkin and Tessa be my first guests on my show here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. So I know that Larkin is calling in or will be calling in shortly. So, okay, Larkin, are you there? Do we have Larkin on the line?
Yep, I am here.
Okay, hi, Larkin. I was just telling the listeners that it's fitting that you are my first guest on this sort of new Peter Mac show, if you will, on the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you were my very first guest, as you recall, way back over 5 years ago. It was actually November 16th, 2001, just the Friday after I had met you and Tessa. And I thought it was fitting that you would be my first guest on this show, because we've gotten to know each other pretty well in the last 5+ years. And you have a tremendous story to tell for those that don't know it yet. And so I think we'll just jump into it, and maybe you can tell people about your experience in a hotel provided to you at courtesy of the federal government for some 13 months.
Yes, they were kind enough to give me free room and board for a year. I guess we'll do things backwards here. A lot has happened in the last 5 years. I just recently got out of federal prison camp in January, where, like you said, I spent about just over a year there. The sentence was 15 months, but for good time, it gets cut down to a year. And what is strange is I spent that year locked up. There aren't many locks in a federal prison camp.
Right.
But I spent that year for tax charges, which is nothing unusual, and no doubt everybody will be hearing about it in the coming week, because the government likes to be very loud about how nasty they are to people who don't do as they're told as far as taxes are concerned. What makes my case rather strange is that I didn't hide anything. I didn't lie about anything, which they admitted in their motions and in trial. It was not a tax evasion case. It's not a matter of somebody not paying their taxes. Not a matter of somebody lying about their income or lying about this or hiding that, which is what they usually go after. Instead, they went after me because I went out of my way to tell them I'm not going to file income tax returns anymore, because after filing for years and years and years, assuming I had to, assuming I owed the tax, I did a radical extremist thing that hardly anybody in this country ever does, which is I looked at the law. And I looked and looked and looked and dug deeper and deeper, researching claims that I had heard other people making about, you know, the tax laws aren't what they seem. And there's a zillion different versions of the claim that most people don't owe income taxes. And I looked into a bunch of them, and I found that a bunch of them didn't hold water and didn't make sense. But then I came across one that did, and when I researched the law, it showed me that I don't owe that tax.
Yeah, Larkin, we're going to have to take a short break here, sure. So folks, stay with us. You're listening to the Peter Mac Show on Republic Broadcasting. We'll be back with Larkin Rose in just a couple minutes.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Okay, welcome back to the Peter Mac Show. I'm your host, Peter McCandless. This is a little bit of a new format for me, so if it's not quite as smooth as you're used to hearing me on KCXL, I apologize for that. When we get the bugs worked out, I'll be smoother at it, I'm sure. My special guest with me today is Larkin, and his wife, Tessa Rose, will be on at some point during the show. Larkin, are you back with us?
Yep.
Okay. You were just talking about your stay in federal prison there in Waymart, Pennsylvania, and also just relating to people that it wasn't any of the usual things that people think of regarding tax charges and so forth. So just continue there, if you would.
Right. It was actually misdemeanor. Wasn't even a felony. It was misdemeanor, willful failure to file was the official charge for several different years.
Right.
Now, what that charge means is not just that I didn't file tax returns, but that I didn't file tax returns and that I knew I was required to.
Right.
And that's an essential element of the charge. So they, in this case, you know, in a lot of laws, they don't care what you think, what you believe. You know, if you go around killing people and say, golly, I didn't know that was illegal, they don't really care.
Right.
But for tax charges, and the Supreme Court has even said, the tax laws are so complicated that we don't want to punish people for doing what they believe the law requires. You know, if they believe something wrong, the IRS can do collections and stuff, but that's not what prosecution's supposed to be for.
Right.
In fact, the Supreme Court has specifically said that prosecuting people, the criminal tax statutes are not to be used to punish frank difference of opinion about the tax laws.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what they're for. But that is exactly what the Department of Justice used them for in my case.
Sure.
From the beginning, I was completely open about my findings, about my conclusions. I asked to meet with the IRS to talk about what I had found and to invite them to show me anything that I might be missing. And eventually I'll explain what my conclusions are. But the punchline is that my income isn't taxable and therefore shouldn't be reported on a tax return. I shouldn't be filing tax returns. It's actually a mistake if I had filed a return and reported it as if it was taxable because I believed it wasn't. And as I said, in their motions, the government acknowledged he never hid anything. And they raided my house in May of 2003 and rummaged through all my stuff, really hoping to find something deceptive and like I was hiding something. And there was nothing. And they admitted, no, he admitted the income he had. And, you know, I invited the IRS to meet with me. Eventually they did, and I sat down and talked to them. I showed them the regulations I was relying on, explained my position. They admitted they weren't familiar with the sections I was showing them. They admitted on tape, mind you, that they couldn't answer my questions. They were just floundered around all over the place. They obviously were not familiar with this part of the law, and they said so.
Right. In fact, Larkin, you sent in information to them prior to these meetings. This wasn't sort of an impromptu meeting, as I recall, and there were numerous meetings. There wasn't just one, at least in conjunction with other people that you had met. And you sent in information in advance and said, here are my conclusions. Here are the points that I want to address and see if we disagree. And you provided photocopies of the very laws, the statutes, the photocopies from the Code of Federal Regulations to send them to them, supporting your position. And then, as I recall, the purpose of at least one of those meetings was to sit down with them and simply say, okay, here's point one. Do we agree or disagree on this? Just to find out where you differed from the IRS with respect to your understanding of what the law said. Isn't that correct?
Exactly, because I didn't want this to be an ambush where I sneak up on them. Ha ha! Have you ever seen this? I mean,
right.
What's the point of that? I mean,
right.
Nobody knows the whole tax code. If you pull out some section they've never heard of, they're going to have to go look it up. So, weeks in advance, I sent them a letter that said, here's my position, broken down into simple points, citing the regulations, supporting each point. And I said in the letter, and I said when we got there, just what you said. I just want to know what points we agree and disagree on. So, you know, I don't need to convert them on the spot. I just want to know. I know my position on these points, and I told them to them. And I said, I want to know, do you agree or disagree on this point? And on all of them, they got around to admitting we can't really say for sure. Now, that's, you know, somewhat understandable. It would have been completely understandable if I hadn't sent them a thing ahead of time.
Right.
It's even a little bit understandable. You know, maybe they didn't have time to get around to it or, you know, they should have postponed the meeting. But whatever. Maybe they just didn't know it all. So then I asked, well, I'd like these questions sent to your lawyers. There's a procedure called technical advice where a question of law, you send them, because here were the low-level examiners telling me they didn't know the answers, that they weren't familiar. So, okay, I'd like it sent to their lawyers. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. Okay, well, when can I get answers to, like, they haven't even stated their position yet. And months later, we had a second meeting, mostly with the same people at the same office. And I thought, okay, now they'll be prepared. They'll at least know what their position is.
Right.
We went through it all over again. I did the same thing, sent the letters ahead of time. Here's my position. Here are the points. I mean, they were the same points, but in case they forgot them or whatever.
Sure.
I sent them again. Went in again. They still didn't know.
And just so the listeners understand, Larkin, if I may interject here, you went into these meetings with the attitude, I've done some pretty thorough research, I think, but you guys in the IRS are the people responsible for enforcing the law as it is written. And in fact, the mission statement of the IRS is what? To help taxpayers understand and comply with tax laws, right?
Yep.
I'm paraphrasing a bit there, but that's essentially it. You can read it in the front of the instruction booklet for the 1040 form. To help the taxpayer understand and comply with the tax law. So you went in and said, okay, here's the information I've researched. Here's what I've concluded. let's see what, if you differ from me, you provide information that supports your first state of position and then provide information that supports it. And if I, Larkin Rosen, incorrect, I'll accede to that, right? I'll concede to that.
Yep. Yeah.
That was your position, right?
Yeah. And I kept going out of
say
my way.
Say something! Say something!
You still there?
Pardon? I'm still here.
That was strange.
Okay.
I went out of my way to have them state their position. Again, this wasn't a matter of I had my position and they had theirs. I had mine and I couldn't get them to state theirs on these specific points. Like, am I supposed to look here in the law to determine what I owe?
Maybe, Larkin, at this point, at the risk of being too technical, we could provide the listeners with one such item that you ask. And what comes to mind is, I don't have it in front of me, but I think it's 1.863-1 that says the taxpayer's taxable income from sources within or without the United States will be determined by the rules under 1.861-14T. Is that right?
1.861-8 through 1.861-14T.
Okay. So you know it better than I, obviously.
So,
okay.
To try to keep it really simple, I'll just put it this way. I quoted a bunch of regulations that specifically say, you know, in black and white, that for determining taxable income from sources within the United States, domestic income, in other words, income that comes from inside the United States, you're supposed to look to Section 861 of the tax code and a list of regulations that go along with that statute.
Mm-hmm.
And so my first point was just, okay, I think I'm supposed to look here to determine my taxable domestic income, because the regulations say that over and over and over again. It's not even just one place. And so my first question was, do you agree? Am I supposed to look there or not? And at both meetings, they floundered around and they wanted to talk about a different part of the law. But when I said, I kept bringing it back and saying, well, am I supposed to look there or not? They would say, well, we'll have to do more research and we can't give you a definite answer right now and blah, 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 blah. Again, this is after I gave them all the citations saying that. Now, to sort of leap forward in time, at that second meeting, they ended the meeting. I said, I don't want this ended like the last time where you said, well, we'll look into it, and you never did. You never gave me answers. You never cited anything. They just sort of walked away from it.
Right.
I don't want that to happen. I want answers.
Right.
The meeting ended with them saying, we will not move forward until we contact you in some manner first.
Right.
About
when was that second meeting?
I think that was September of 2000.
Okay.
The next time the IRS contacted me was May 6, 2003, 3 years later, when a dozen armed federal agents showed up at my front door, rummage through my belongings and steal all my computers and confiscate all the videotapes I had made and
and scare your daughter to death.
Scare my daughter to death. You know, worry.
Let me just interject, because I think it's important that people understand how the IRS operates if they haven't seen the movie America, Freedom to Fascism and stuff. They came in your door, and as I recall, and correct me on this, your daughter, who was like 5 or 6 at the time, was scared, ran under a desk, and you and Tessa were at a different place in the room, and you tried to get your daughter, Alyssa, to come over, and the agents wouldn't let her do that. Is that correct?
Right. There was a delay. Eventually, my wife could go over to her, but they were sort of, you know, their excuses were securing the area. Like,
right.
Securing, you know, but from what? And that's why I went into the background of this. Like, here's this horrible, dangerous criminal. We have to raid his house because he came to us to explain his position and ask us to respond to him.
Mm-hmm.
This was their response. Remember, at the only two meetings we had, they admitted, we're not that familiar. Like, the sections we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
I read through them, and the Charlie Judge, the office manager at the Jenkintown offices of the IRS, was sitting there. I read those citations. You're supposed to look here to determine your taxable income from sources within the United States. And I said, do you see where I just read that? And they had a copy in front of them because I gave it to them.
Mm-hmm.
He said, yes. Do you understand why I believe what I believe? I mean, it says I'm supposed to look there. He says, yes. And then he says, I'm not sure why there's not a more we must be missing something somewhere here under 861.
Right.
And my response was, well, can you find it? Because I'm quoting your regulations. That is how it ended. It went from that to a raid on my house.
Right.
There was a lot of time in between, but there was no action on the case.
There was no correspondence between you and the IRS from September of 2000 till May of 2003.
Right. On that case, they never answered the questions. They never wrote to me. Right. They never sent a 30-day letter and say, here's how much we think you owe. They never did a notice of deficiency. They never tried to collect.
Mm-hmm.
It was really obvious they didn't want to talk to me, because when I go in there, I won't tell them ahead of time I'm going to audio record it.
Right.
And I'm going to post the transcripts on the internet.
And in fact, you did.
I got their handwritten notes, and one of them was like, he posted the transcript on the internet of our meeting.
Right.
Like, that's some horrible thing. Like, this is the government. Aren't they supposed to be, like, open about what they're doing?
Right.
And so it went from, I don't know, we'll get back to you, to raiding my house with armed federal agents and scaring my kid and swiping my stuff and just to sort of give the contrast of what kind of country is this. You know, suppose I'm completely wrong. I mean, there's a bunch of people out there who have theories that I think are completely wrong. But
right.
If they came up and said to the IRS, here's what I see, here's what I read.
Okay, sorry, Larkin, for the mute. We got a break here again.
Sure.
Folks, stay with us. We'll be back in a couple minutes with Larkin Rose.
Are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free 866-222-3017 or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Okay, welcome back to the Peter Mac Show. My special guest with me today is Larkin Rose and eventually his wife Tessa Rose. So, okay, Larkin, you'd had these meetings with the IRS and then they eventually raided your home. So take us from there if you would.
Sure. So that was the history of me not filing.
All right.
And now I'll jump forward all the way to the trial, because the way most people think is he went to jail. He was wrong.
Right.
Now, that's kind of strange logic. Galileo went to jail for saying that maybe the sun doesn't go around us. We go around it.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that somebody goes to jail isn't proof of anything. And I wanted to give that background because what I was charged with was willful failure to file, which has to do with my beliefs. Did I believe I was required to file?
Mm-hmm.
I told them I didn't file. They knew about my income. I didn't hide any of that. They admitted I didn't hide any of that in their motions right at trial. You know, the prosecution admitted. The only question is, what did he believe? So there I am on trial where the only question is, did I believe I was required to file?
Right.
Now, one of the first things I wanted to show the jury was the letters I wrote to the government explaining my position. Government objects. No, he can't do that. Court says you're not allowed to show them those letters. Okay, that's a little weird considering my beliefs are on trial.
Right.
And why not? It's hearsay. No, it's not. I wrote them. They acknowledge I wrote them. Nobody's disputing that I wrote them, and I'm there to be cross-examined about them. Nope, hearsay. You can't bring them up. Okay, next, I'd like to play the recordings of the meetings I had with the IRS to show that I was completely open, that my position was completely based on their regulations and statutes, and that they had no response. And in some of the earlier motions before trial, the government said, well, of course you can play those recordings. So it comes to trial. I want to play the recordings. Nope, we object. Hearsay. Recordings of a meeting that they have copies of, they acknowledge are genuine, nobody's disputing that, can't do it, they're hearsay. The court says, nope, can't play them. Okay, I can't show my letters, can't play the meetings. How about my written report, my 60-page report explaining in detail my position that I've sent to numerous government officials, including the local people, including the commissioner of the IRS, the president, secretary of the treasury, director of the Philadelphia Service Center of the IRS, when there was one, all these officials. How about that? Can I show that? Nope, it's hearsay. How about the video I spent a year and a half making, explaining, you know, just very academically explaining my position, citing the Supreme Court cases, the statutes, the regulations, all the history. Nope, can't show them that either. What it boiled down to is, in a trial about my beliefs, I was not allowed to show the jury anything I had said or written prior to trial. Anything.
And you weren't even allowed to show citations of the very laws that you had relied upon to reach those conclusions, were you?
Some of them I was allowed. Some of them,
okay.
I could show the regulation. Now, in that, in the context, I was not allowed to say I'm right, because they said, no, the court will tell the jury what the law is. And then the judge made some amazing statements that are just as wrong as you can get about federal tax law. He gave this speech about, oh, the Congress didn't have the power to tax incomes until the 16th Amendment. Okay, well, I have the 1890 Income Tax Act. So how does that happen? I had the Supreme Court saying the 16th Amendment didn't give him any new taxing power, but I wasn't allowed to point that out.
Right. Okay, Larkin, sorry, we have another another short break here, folks. So stay with us. We'll be back with Larkin Rose in just a second.
the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
Okay, we're back here. This is your host, Peter McCandless, the new version of the Peter Mac Show, and my special guest with me on the phone is Larkin Rose. We're talking about his really long saga with the federal government, and he's talking about his trial now that took place in August of 2005. Go ahead, Larkin, if you would, please.
Sure. I was just running through the things I wasn't allowed to tell my jury about, which is basically anything I had written or said for the 8 years I had been doing my research, my report, my video, and all that. And then you had a front row seat, literally, to some other things that you weren't allowed to talk about.
Right. What Larkin's referring to is a campaign that he was a part of, but I sort of headed up, and that was, we called it Operation Blockhead in honor of H&R Block, and that is we had a number of people across the United States write to a local H&R Block facility in their state, their city, their county, what have you, and ask them one question. It was actually the first of Larkin's questions. I don't recall the very the actual text of the question. Do you, Larkin?
It was basically, do you use Section 861 and its regulations to determine the taxable domestic income of your clients?
Right.
That's and, not quite a direct quote, but close enough.
Very close, yeah, paraphrasing. And so people would send the local H&R Block facility this question and carbon copy CC the corporate headquarters, which happens to be here in Kansas City where I live. And so this campaign went on for a couple months. This was in 2003, I believe. And after a couple months, about April, actually just about this time, April 7th, 8th, or 9th of 2003, I called up H&R Block headquarters, and I was put in touch with a woman who identified herself as Lois Gladstone, and she said she was an attorney for H&R Block. And I asked her if she'd been receiving copies of this letter where we'd asked the various facilities, some 500 to 600 H&R Block sites in 33 states. We asked them this one question, and I said, are you going to answer the question? You know, because she's an attorney at the corporate headquarters. And she said, no, she would not answer the question. And I said, why not? And she said she was not at liberty to say, which is pretty odd when you think that there's this organization, H&R Block, which presumably makes millions of dollars determining people's taxable income and refuses to answer a very basic question about how you do that. And so my role when I was brought in as Larkin's first witness on, I believe it was Thursday afternoon of the trial, Larkin, if I recall correctly, and you and I went through the perfunctory stuff, you know, asking me my name and so forth like that. And then as I started to tell the story that I just told to you all, the judge cut me off and said that was irrelevant. And we just kind of looked at each other, didn't we, Larkin? And the judge asked me to go take a seat. So I stood up from the witness stand and walked to the back of the courtroom and sat down.
Yep, yep. And there were some other things that we had, I think before then we had given up on having you testify about because the court had already said, no, we're not going to be able to do that. We had done a bunch of radio shows together, including with other people at the same time, a CPA, sure, a former IRS agent, a former federal prosecutor, and the judge had ruled beforehand, no, you can't play any of that.
Right.
And you can't mention the fact that there are ex-IRS and ex-DOJ people who agree with you. And
right,
you can't mention the fact that anybody agrees with you.
Right.
Now, the reason that's so important is their entire case was we told him he was wrong. Not told him how, not answered any questions. In fact, on cross-examination, I took the IRS witnesses through their exhibits, their letters that says, no, your income's taxable. And I said, does it cite any statute? No. Any regulation? No. Any Supreme Court ruling? No. So it's just a form letter. And we did that through several of them. And so their entire case was, we told him he was wrong. Not we showed it, not even we explained our own position, because they admitted they didn't. And I got them to admit that on the stand, again, under oath, that no, they hadn't answered my specific questions. And yeah, they said they'd get back to me and didn't.
Right. In fact, Larkin, if you can recount, was it Spalding who was on the stand? A woman. I wasn't in the courtroom at this time because this is before I gave testimony or tried to. But you had, was it Spalding on the stand and you had her read a section of law?
Right.
And if you can just recount that.
Sure. She was the IRS examiner, and I handed her a thing and said, do you recognize this as one of the handouts I gave you at the meeting?
And I'm sorry, let's get her name. Spalding. What was her first
Kathy
name?
Kathy Spalding.
Kathy Spalding. And what was her role? Was she
IRS agent? Examiner. It was her case. The supervisor was there, too, but basically she was the one on the case.
And she was the IRS examiner in Jenkintown or Philadelphia?
Yeah, Jenkintown.
Okay.
And
Jenkintown, Pennsylvania, for people listening. Yeah.
Right. So now at the trial, I put in front of her one of the handouts I had given them at the meeting and asked if she recognizes one of the handouts. And she kind of said, yeah, I think so. And I said, could you read one of those citations? And there are a bunch of citations, but I had her read one that says the taxpayer's taxable income from sources within the. Oh, no. It was one that says Sections 861B and 863A state in general terms how to determine the taxable income of a taxpayer from sources within the United States after gross income from sources within the United States has been determined.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, unquote. That's a direct quote.
Right.
She reads that. And I said, did you use 861B and 863A to determine my taxable income from sources within the United States? She said, no, I did not. And it just, I guess that just completely went over the jury's head, because there I had her read a regulation and right afterwards admit she hadn't done what it says she has to.
Right. Didn't qualify it, didn't say, no, I didn't use it for this reason, citing
right,
some other section.
Just, nope, just, didn't use it.
Which points out that, to me, Larkin, the entire problem here, you constantly point out, here's a regulation that absolutely, explicitly, clearly compels the taxpayer to use certain sections to determine his taxable domestic income. And you ask the IRS, do I use that section? And they, in your meetings, never answer, never state their position. And then on the witness stand, Kathy Spaulding admits that she didn't use it and with no explanation.
Right.
And every one of the 12 jurors totally misses that.
Yep, yep. Well, I think the only thing that registered in their minds was, well, they said he was wrong.
Right.
As if that's, you know, proof of anything. Well, he can't believe it because the government bureaucrat said he was wrong. Not cited something, not proved something, not even explained anything coherently, but just asserted that he was wrong.
Right.
And so that was their entire case. And that's why they wanted to keep out all the people who agreed with me, because if you start showing up, here's a former prosecutor, federal prosecutor who agrees with me, here's three former IRS agents who now agree with me, here's a whole bunch of other lawyers and CPAs who agree with me, well, that kind of messes it up. It messes up their impression of, well, we told him he was wrong, so he couldn't possibly believe this.
Right.
And one of the more obnoxious things that Floyd Miller, the lead prosecutor, did, you just talked about the H&R Block thing.
Right.
That I wasn't allowed to tell them about.
Right.
Among a zillion other things.
Well, I wasn't either. Make it clear that the judge in that case prevented me from talking about that.
Right.
In front of the jury.
Because apparently the only thing relevant to what I believed is what that IRS bureaucrat told me. Nothing else. Nothing else I saw, nobody else I talked to, none of the people who agreed with me. And then Floyd Miller stood up in closing and said, you heard him, you know, show some sections of law. Yeah, fine. But what you didn't hear him say is that he went to H&R Block. He said H&R Block. Yeah, why they didn't hear me say that is because him and Judge Michael Bailson prohibited me from telling them about it.
Right.
And then he gets up there in his closing, well, you never heard him say he went to H&R Block. And that was even the wording he used. You never heard him say that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, golly gee, maybe that's because you and the judge made sure that I wasn't allowed to point out that we wrote to 600 H&R Block offices.
In effect, Floyd Miller, lead prosecutor in your case, lied to the jury, in my opinion. He bald-faced lied to the jury.
Yep.
And he got away with it because it was the closing, it was the final rebuttal to your close on, and nothing else could be said in response to that.
Yep. And he knew it was a lie.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the only one either. But for them to do, I mean, in theory, now I know lots of listeners to this station know how far away this theory is from reality. In theory, the Department of Justice is supposed to see that justice is done.
Mm-hmm.
The Supreme Court has even said it's as much the duty of the prosecutor to make sure that the innocent shall not suffer as it is to make sure that the guilty are punished.
Mm-hmm.
So in theory, prosecutors are supposed to determine the truth and tell the truth and let the jury decide innocence or guilt. Well, they did no such thing.
Right.
They lied all over the place, and most of what they worked on was making it so that I wasn't allowed to show the jury things that demonstrate my belief. All my letters, our taped radio shows wasn't allowed to, my videotape, my written report, anything off my websites. What they brought up some emails that they got from the computers they swiped from my house in which I say nasty things about the IRS. Now,
right.
What's funny is that in those same emails, I also say I don't believe I owe the tax.
Right.
So if the jury had been paying the least bit of attention, they would have said, wait, this doesn't prove he thought he was required to file. It proves he doesn't.
Right.
But apparently all their mentality could get to was, well, they said he was wrong and he didn't do it. And, of course, in my closing, I even got a chance. The government complained and then eventually the court complained. But I got a chance to list some of the things I had intended to show them and then wasn't allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
My video and my report and so on. I said, I wanted to show you this, but I wasn't allowed to. I wanted to play you the recordings of the meetings with the IRS, but I wasn't allowed to.
Right.
And the government objected, and eventually the judge stopped me and then gave a little monologue trying to justify why he kept out everything that could possibly be relevant to my state of mind.
Right.
But it's just, you know, when you, the outcome they want is a guilty verdict. They don't care how they get it.
Right.
They don't care what they have to suppress, what they have to lie about, because they know that if you go to prison, for 95% of the population, that's all they're going to care about.
Right.
They don't. We don't want the story. He went to prison. He's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He must be wrong because he went to prison. And that's what they wanted, and that's what they got, because, one, because the government and the court worked together to make sure I couldn't defend myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, two, because that was good enough for the jury. They just, oh, well, you know, they said he was wrong. That's good enough. You know?
Right.
What's for supper?
Right.
They deliberated for, I forget what it was, I think it was 90 minutes, including an hour lunch. So basically
mm-hmm.
nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And they went through thousands of emails from the computers they took from my house. And I had their lead witness, Donald Perlman, special agent for the IRS. Mm-hmm. I said, did you find in any of those anything where I state I don't actually believe what I'm saying? No.
Mm-hmm.
So where's the case?
Doesn't matter.
The case was you stated your belief, we said it was wrong, and then you did what you believed. Well,
mm-hmm.
you should be put in a cage.
Mm-hmm.
And the jury said, yeah, he should be put in a cage.
And the supreme irony of this whole episode for me, Larkin, is that this entire trial took place about 200 yards from where the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution were signed, right?
Yeah, we have to walk past a huge glass etching of that on the big windows of the federal building there.
Mm-hmm.
Walk past it on the way to, not the courtroom, but to the IRS offices and stuff. It's
right.
just so, and oh, what's the, what does it say on the outside of the building? Remember, that's outside of DOD, federal building. Something about justice.
Mm-hmm.
Something nauseatingly Orwellian.
Right.
Oh, I forget. But it just, and it works so well. The propaganda works so well. People think, well, you went on trial. Like,
mm-hmm.
you were allowed to defend yourself. No, I wasn't.
Right. Right.
Yeah, you can defend your, you can demonstrate your good faith belief as long as you don't cite anything you ever said before you stepped into this courtroom.
Right.
Well, how on earth am I supposed to do that?
And for folks listening that are new to this subject, this is this behavior by the DOJ and even a federal judge, in this case Michael Bailson, is not an aberration from how they behave. Because as we'll see in Larkin's wife's Tessa's trial, they did similar things. And in Dixon Cannon's trial where you were witness, they did similar things. And every other trial I've heard about, the DOJ does everything it can to prevent the jury from hearing any evidence that would refute what the prosecution contends. They just, in fact, in Simcannon's trial, where you were a witness and I wasn't, so I got to be in there the whole time, the lead prosecuting attorney in there, a fellow by the name of David L. Jarvis, jumped out of his chair at least 20 times and said, quote, I object to quoting from the law. You know, and as an American citizen, when you sit in a court of law and you hear a Department of Justice attorney say, I object to quoting from the law, you just wrinkle up your brow and say, what is going on in this country?
Yep.
This is unbelievable. You can't quote the law, and this is a court of law. But ladies and gentlemen, this goes on in federal tax trials and perhaps other trials across this great country of ours all the time. This is the nature of what goes on in the United States of America today, I'm sad to say.
Right. And what they did, the slightly different version of what they did in my trial, I was allowed to show some statutes and regulations I've relied on. Eventually, the judge cut me off and said, no, you can't show that one, can't show that one. I got a bunch in. Every time I wanted to introduce anything from the statutes or regulations, the government objected. Every time.
Right. Right.
So if you sort of back up and think, what did they think I should be allowed to say?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing from the law, nothing I had ever said before. What else is there? You're
right.
allowed to defend yourself as long as you don't say anything.
Right. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. And it was just, well, at this point, Larkin, I don't know when we'll have our next break, but we can do, we could continue on with you, or we could solicit calls from people out there that might have questions for you, and then maybe bring Tess on in the second hour. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we should just give her the second hour.
Okay.
And have a few callers.
Okay. Well, if anybody wants to call in, if you have any questions for Larkin Rose, any questions for me about this whole episode, give us a call here at 1-800-313-9443. Again, that's 1-800-313-9443. Well, Larkin, I was telling someone last night about what it was like when you, after you were convicted. I wasn't in the courtroom when the verdict was read. But then the federal government gave you a ride, of course, back to your house, and I drove your parents and Tessa back up, and Dr. Tom, whom we'll talk about in the next hour, came in, and I just remember you sitting there with this shackle, you know, this ankle bracelet on your foot, not a shackle really, it's just a device to monitor your proximity. Well, it looks like we have another break here, Larkin, so maybe we'll have to wait and see if we get some calls.
Okay.
All right. Stay with us, folks. We'll be back shortly.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Welcome back to the Peter Mac Show. My special guest with me today is Larkin Rose and soon his wife Tessa Rose. And during this first hour, you've heard Larkin Rose's saga with the federal government, and which led to his trial and conviction. And then he spent some 12 to 12 and a half months in prison, got out here in January. And his wife also was put on trial. Her trial was actually separated from Larkin's, and her trial took place in November, and I was November of 2005, and I was present for that as well. And so, Larkin, do you want to continue talking? Do you have Tessa there, or how do you want to proceed?
Yeah, she's here too.
Okay. We may get some calls for you, so maybe you should stay on the line too. I don't know when the calls will come in. We'll see here. So far, I haven't been told that we have any callers, but we'll see.
Right. Maybe we'll just give her the whole second hour if she wants.
Okay. We do have a call here. Larkin, let's take Keith in Canada. Keith, go ahead. You're on the Peter Mac Show.
Hello, Peter and Larkin. This is an amazing story, to say the least. Larkin, although I ultimately respect your efforts here, I think it's pretty clear at this point where we're all wasting our time to try to fight the system on their level, because they're simply not playing by any sense of legal rule or morality. I think you would agree.
Yeah. I would add another reason, too. I basically had no faith that the government or the court would do anything resembling a fair trial. I knew they were going to cheat every way they could. I had a little bit of hope that the American public, as represented by 12 presumably randomly selected individuals, would do the right thing, and they didn't.
Right. Well, I think it's very clear at this point the position that the government and IRS are taking, and it's basically the big middle finger.
Okay.
And really, I mean,
well,
what else
said.
Can we say here? And so it leaves us at this point no other recourse than in basically in well-armed, well-trained groups to basically stand there and say, if the IRS comes, we're going to deal with you. I mean, unless you can present, I mean, your type of story is now becoming fairly commonplace.
Yeah. Right. That's
and,
true.
I mean, I'm constantly hearing this type of thing on RBN and other sources. And the bottom line is that we're not getting anywhere. We truly aren't. And I'm always hearing this stuff on RBN, especially of how to fight this tax system. Well, clearly it's not working. We cannot play on their rules.
Yeah,
and so we have no other choice. And until us patriot-minded people are willing to take this stand collectively, not individually, because then you're just a lone nut job in the media, even though that's not the reality, until we are willing to do this, we are getting absolutely nowhere. And frankly, short of exposing what's going on, which is extremely important, obviously, short of that, we're frankly all wasting our time here.
Right. The irony is that everything I did, everything I went through is I wanted a, you know, nonviolent, peaceful, open, honest way to end this fraud, because it is a fraud. It's a gigantic, huge fraud.
Well, of course, that's how you wanted it to go.
And ironically, what the government did was demonstrate, oh, well, we don't care about that.
Exactly. So, do you own an M14 or like weapon and have in good training? Because that's what's left, my friend. I hate to say that. I really do. I don't want that, just like none of you do. But that is the reality. And until we start saying this constantly and banding together in that manner, we are wasting our time.
And Ed Brown is now at that point.
Exactly.
Where he, you know, I don't think I've ever even talked to him.